0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Michael Beale says Rangers aren't as broken as people think, but is promising changes. We've got some brilliant ties ahead in the Scottish Cup after the draw last night. The likes of Celtic, Morton, St Johnstone Rangers, Darvel, Aberdeen and Dundee United against Stirling Uni. And it's a big night for our nearest neighbours at the World Cup with England and Wales going head to head. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you've got Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Big news, obviously, Michael Beale in the building at Rangers, and they've got their man. They seem to be only one man on the list, and they've got it across the line, and pretty quickly at that. But it's down to work now for Michael Beale. He's got 16 days before the game against Hibs. A lot of work to pack in to that time. Interesting times ahead for him. He would have met the players today. He was on the training pitch today. The players have to start taking on his ideas because they need to hit the ground running come the 15th.
Yeah, Mark's right. I think that all the wondering who the next Rangers manager is going to be is over with. It's time to now get back to business. They've got a league game coming up on the 15th against Hibs. So he's going to prepare for that. Celtic doing a bit of business as well in the transfer market. And the Scottish Cup fourth round draw. It's some interesting ties.
0141 951 1025, and please get in touch. We always like to hear from you on the show, on the phones. Of course, you can tweet at Clyde SSB, but you can't beat the real thing. So come on, give us a call and let us know what is on your mind tonight. If it is still Michael Beale, if it is still Rangers' new manager, let's maybe try and put a bit of a forward-looking lens on things. Last night was very much about the reaction. What did you make of it? Is he the right man? Is he the wrong man? How did you react to the news that he is the new manager? What comes next then, Rangers fans? What is the first thing he needs to address? What are the first couple of things he needs to address? What do you want to see change quickly? What do you want to see change now? What do you think the style of play is going to look like? What players do you think will get a chance in the future? Are there any players you think don't have a future under Michael Beale? What do you think about it going forward? What are the things that need to change? What needs to come next? I think we've done the whole sort of reaction in terms of, was he the right man? Was he the wrong man? Of course, we'll find out in time. So what comes next? What would you like Michael Beale's priorities to be? If he was stuck for inspiration and he called you up and asked you what is the first thing he should fix, what would your answer be? 0141 951 1025. I am well aware of the way this footballing city works. Maybe you're a fan of another team and you're not that interested in what's going on with Michael Beale. Well, feel free to pick up the phone and change the subject as well. It's obviously a bit quieter with the other teams. That's just the territory we're in at the moment. But still, we would love to hear you. 0141 951 1025. And we will look back on that Scottish Cup draw a bit later on in the show as well, because some unbelievable ties in there. You think about getting through and wanting one of the big dogs. Well, Darvel have certainly got that, haven't they, in Aberdeen? Great tie for Stirling Uni. With no disrespect to the great people of Elgin, maybe feel a bit for the drum, Mark Wilson.
Not so good.
We gave them the big build up on the show and they've gone through, and we never know. Maybe it falls into a winnable category, but I know they wanted a bit of glamour.
Yeah.
And Elgin away in January, I don't know if that's glamour.
There's no glamour about it. It was the last place that I managed. I lost my job there. And
I genuinely didn't know that.
The little shed, remember, because it was COVID times, so we had to get changed in a little shed to the side.
It was 3-0,
3-1,
round about that.
Yeah,
I watched the highlights of that so
that
many times.
That can't have taken long. I
loved the joy of seeing the last game he ever managed in. I just was there for him.
With friends like that, eh?
I know.
Well, there you are. It's become a historical venue in Scottish football then, so don't feel so bad, Drumchapel players and fans, if you are looking forward to that one. But either way, get in touch, 0141 951 1025. Much better on the phones, but of course you can tweet if you would rather do that as well. How are you actually? You alright? You feeling?
I'm good. Why?
I thought you'd be.
I'm looking good, yeah. Fresh, hungry.
Not good. Picked up a cold or anything? I thought you'd have been struggling tonight, no? You okay?
Yeah, why? I'm supposed to pick up a cold.
Well, I thought I saw you.
Did I miss something?
I thought I saw you with your top off on the BBC last night in the news. Was that not genuinely somebody told me that was you behind the reporter?
That boy had no muscles.
With the top over his head.
I'm packing here.
Very similar. I'm body
shamed. I was him.
Not a body shamed guy, but
not even that. Just the way you were jumping up and down. I thought I've sure I've seen that move from before.
No, not at all.
I was ruined my night. I really thought that was you.
Great piece of television. Great reporting.
Anyway, 01419511025. Whilst you get your calls in, we actually have heard a bit from Michael Beale this afternoon. He's given an interview to Sky Sports. Some interesting stuff in there. Talks about the injuries and the job he's going to do and whether it will be similar or different to previous regimes and so on. Let me play this first clip, which is hit right on the head of something we discussed with Andy Halliday last night, because I hear a lot of people queuing up and saying, well, it's all right being a number two, but, you know, or a number three, you get to be all pally with the players, but how's that going to work? Because you can't be the player's pal now when you're the manager. So he was asked about that in that interview with Sky today, and here was his answer.
I wasn't that close to the players, to be honest, in terms of, like, you know, friends. I was never anyone's friend. I was always a bit of a disciplinarian, really, out on the training pitch. I was the moaner of the staff, of the previous staff, and that was my job, to take, train and drive standards. I was close to the players, but I was never anyone's friend. So I feel that's not an issue. The fact we live an unbelievable experience together, I think, knows. I know, the players know that we can recreate and build something strong and special again. So that actually gives confidence, but It's not a case of me coming back in here and having a million friends in the playing staff. I do in the support staff.
Of course, it's all words at the moment, Mark, but it has to be, because we've not seen a ball kicked yet, so there's not much we can do. What did you make of that as an answer to what would be an understandable concern, question mark, call it what you want?
I thought that was quite interesting, because I think we're all led to think that when you're a coach, you are the buffer between the manager and the players, and, you know, that you're that wee bit more lenient with them and the players can trust you and you have a laugh. Now, that's obviously the case at a lot of clubs, but, you know, never seemed to be the case with Michael Beale. Training sessions are meant to be very good. The players enjoy them, but it was interesting for me hearing that he was that detached alongside the manager, and perhaps others were the ones that fed into it. So it puts him in a good place going in, because he doesn't need to then, you know, disengage with players now. Those players that were there with him know exactly what he is on the pitch.
It's quite useful to have Andy in last night, having been in that dressing room, Gordon. He said exactly that. He said Gary McAllister, yes, he was the pal, if you like, the go-between. But Michael Beale was distant and sort of sat next to Steven Gerrard in terms of discipline and distance between the players. So, look, there might be a million other issues that he encounters in the future. Who knows? But it doesn't look like that sort of turning from a friend into a disciplinarian is going to be one of them.
Yeah, I don't get caught up too much in this, Gordon. You know, he'll be a little bit closer as a coach, of course he will, but we've heard him saying there, look, I didn't have any friends. He's just into management. He'll know now. He's had a small taste of it at QPR. He's up here to get results, not make friends. Let's be honest about it. It doesn't matter if you're well-liked or not in the dressing room. The most important thing for Beale is to go out there and get results and improve Rangers. And then he'll probably make plenty of friends from the Rangers supporters if that happens. But he's got a big job in his hands.
Right, let's try and look forward. What changes would you like to see the Rangers manager make? What should be his priorities? He's in there right now. What is the first thing, the first couple of things he needs to look at, Yvonne? What would your thoughts be on that one?
So for me, it's about attitude, discipline, determination, playing for the jersey. For whatever reason, that seems to have been missing from Rangers for a wee while under Gio. He obviously started running really well and taking us to the cup final and then winning the cup in Scotland. However, from then it seems like the players stopped playing for him for whatever reason, so something was very wrong in the dressing room at Ibrox. So for me, Michael Beale needs to bring a fresh, you know, they need to be disciplined to play for Rangers. They need to want to play for Rangers and you know, show that on the park. That for me, that's been missing. It's like a lack of effort and not really that bothered. So the opposite of what it's been for the past few months.
How's that as a starting point, Gordon?
Yeah, it's interesting that Yvonne's come on there, and that's the clientele you need for to be playing with Rangers. That should be a gimme, to be quite honest with you, play with any of the two big clubs. But I think Michael Beale will get in there. He'll command the respect. Of course he will. I think Van Bronckhorst had the respect gone. But sometimes you hear stories about the training and the low key and different ways of going about training. Michael Beale's different from Van Bronckhorst. Some players buy into it, some players don't. It's just getting your points over there, changing the style. I think he's got a big, big task, right? Because he has got injuries and he's not making excuses, and neither he should, because he's got a big squad. But he's got guys like, you know, his top player, probably centre forward when he was there, Morelos. He's got to get him back firing all cylinders. He's got Kent, well documented on this show, people phoning in saying what's he offering, he's run down his contract. He has to get him up ready, sharp, ready to go on the 15th of December. He's got to get style of play. He's got to get his own ideas over there, and he's got to hit the ground running for me.
But that's the thing, Mark. If we're talking about an order of what you can realistically do on days sort of 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5, is Yvonne's point, is that always the first thing you're going to look for? Because recruitment will need to wait a little bit, and contracts, and maybe even style of play takes a bit to implement. But
yeah,
can you just instantly squeeze a bit more effort, commitment, whatever, from the guys that are there?
I think you've got to think that, otherwise you would never make a change. You know, in management, you've got to think that the new guy coming in can squeeze something out the same bunch of players, especially when you're doing it out with a window. So day one, he's got to have had a meeting with his full team. He's got to quickly establish who's coming with him and who he can cut. Now, Daz has mentioned a couple of names there, and I think he's right to mention Kent and Morelos, two guys that he knows he had unbelievable success way in terms of what they contributed in that team, and they're far off that. He has got to try and establish him again as a game changer in his team right away, because they were the jewel in the crown, those two most saleable assets. They have failed far from that, so he's got to get them on side and then figure out who else can contribute to the squad and pull them through until he gets some of his own signings in.
Got faith that can happen, Yvonne?
Yeah, I think so. I like Michael Beale, obviously. When he was with Stevie Gerrard, I always thought he spoke very well any time you heard from him. But for me, it's fitness too. There appears to be, you know, these players kind of turn from challenging 18 months ago to being absolutely rubbish for the past 4 months. You know, so it's fitness and all of that for me. But yeah, I'm hopeful for the future with Michael Beale. I like him, and I think he's probably he can't fail to take Rangers and make Rangers better than what they've been for the last few while.
Well, that's what he's brought in for. Let's be honest here. He's brought in because of, you know, the recruitment will wait, obviously, in January. But he's been brought in for this team to hit the ground running when they come back from, obviously, this break with the World Cup. And it's what I think's helped him is, yes, we can go over all ground up. He knows the players, he knows the club, he's been there, the players buy in, he's training. That's okay in paper, and that's okay saying that. But he knows for a fact that he's got to get a tune out these players. That's the first thing he'll be judged on, Gordon, because that's the reason he was brought back.
Football's such like a roller coaster, Mark. You've got, you know, even now, although we're in the break, there's still a lot of football to be played. There will be different challenges and different opponents. I'm asking purely about your experience here. How important is it, sort of day one, day two, when a manager looks you in the eye for the first time, sets a tone? Is that important?
Of course. I think players are judging you right away as soon as you walk in the building. I would even put Michael Beale into that category as well. Even though he's been there and a lot of the players will know him, some of them won't. So first impressions are everything. Managers have to give off a sense that they actually know what they're doing, or else players quickly suss them out, and before you know it, you find yourself in a hole with underperformers or people who are perceived maybe not to be trying their best on the pitch, or it looks that way. So having those first few meetings, setting out your stall in terms of your ideas, the discipline, everything I've already said there, actually what you expect for your team comes in those first few days. Now he's came at a break, so he's got, you know, a week or two to work at that on the pitch, but those first few meetings are critical in a manager's reign. And it might be a wee bit easier for Beale, but he's still in that category that he needs to make a big impression.
Thank you very much to Yvonne. Let's bring in Carolyn, who's also a Rangers fan. What's the sort of first thing that needs fixed, Carolyn, or what's the priority? What should Michael Beale be doing right now?
I think Michael Beale just needs to lay down the rules. he needs to have passion. He needs to have players who want to merit for the jumper, who want to play for Glasgow Rangers. It's not just about a crowd just get played. The whole team was off there, as Yvonne said, the last caller said. There was just something was just sitting. It's no one player that you can put your finger to, the whole team. And I think he'll be looking, you know, to thump down the disciplinary side of it. And if you don't kind of meet the category, you'll only play for Glasgow Rangers. I think it'll be quite headstrong. He talks about, you know, before the start of the show, he goes on about friends. He doesn't need friends. See if he brings the result to 50,000 fans at Ibrox, he'll have all the friends that he can get. That's all we need. It's just about believing in each other. And it's a fresh start to players. Like I said, the previous times I've phoned up, I played a lot of football in my younger days. And a new manager comes in, it's a fresh start. But I think he'll be good for the club. I think he's, you know, he's already got the respect here.
What do you think that balance is like, Gordon, of this notion of sort of laying down the law, getting your standards in early, but not, like, nobody, you don't perhaps want to come across then too strong, do you? And then you've just annoyed everybody on day one. Is that a delicate balance? Did you find that?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing with the modern day manager now, Gordon, is, you know, most of them are good coaches. Most of them like to be involved. In the years gone by, a manager would be the leader. He would have coaches and he would stand and make sure everything ticked along. I think nowadays a manager has to have that line, and the players know not to cross it. Now, there'll be a fine balance there, because you've got to give players now leeway. Because a few seasons ago, everybody was talking, even just now, about players' power and the players have got all the power and stuff like that. But as you're a manager, and I think going across the city to Postecoglou, I think he's got it spot on. I think he treats his players brilliantly, but I think the players know where that line is. I think Beale's the same. I think he's got to get in there and say, right, we're going to go forward as a side. We're going to play a different brand of football. We're going to play fast attacking. We're going to try and please Caroline and these 50,000 supporters with results as well. But I'm the boss. This is where the line is, and that's where it stops.
Again, Mark, he said, we're just going on interviews at the moment, he said there he was the sort of disciplinarian in training previously. He was the moaner. Then, so I don't know, Tavernier, Kent, Morelos, etc., Goldson, when he's fit, they'll know that then. Nothing really changes there.
Or see, to be honest, personally, as a player on the pitch, I like that in training. I like standards being set high, no joking. You know, do your work on the pitch and having someone moan at you for doing something that was okay rather than just let you off with something. And I think it drives you. I think having a fear factor about the place, and especially coming through the manager, drives performance levels up. I really do, because the players then, you know, they fear letting the manager down. They fear falling below the standards. And I think you really do get best out of players in that respect. I don't mean back to Daz's day where you used to get a punch in the abs, didn't you, Frey? Yep. Or your managers.
That's why I've got the pack.
I'm not meaning that, but just that set of standards that the players understand we cannot fall behind.
Carolyn, are you expecting, you know, major changes? Is he coming in to blow the place apart, or is it just tweaking things here and there?
I think he'll come in and try and find his best 11, his strong team, and a bit more consistency every week, you know, because with Gio, there was, as far as I'm concerned, Giovanni never played the same 11 team, same players, week in and week out. It was always something changed or something like that. You need to give players time to get to know each other, how they perform, their weaknesses, you know, and their strengths and stuff like that. You need to gel together as a team, as a unit. And I think he's on the right stepping stone now. He's heading in the right direction.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Carolyn. Nice to hear from you, Carolyn and Yvonne. Thank you. 01419511025. Some more interesting stuff from Michael Beale. Going to play that to you and take more of your calls next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025. It's Twitter at Clyde SSB. I've been inundated with people agreeing who thought that was you outside Ibrox last night with your top above your head.
I was too late for me, and it certainly wasn't me, because, as I say, look at them.
Well, it's radio, peep. That doesn't really work.
Yeah, I've got cameras.
What are you showing there? Test out of clarity. Put them away with time. People eating dinner.
01419511025. We're trying to look forward a bit. There's been a lot of reaction last night in terms of just, you know, gut feeling, gut reaction, immediate reaction to Michael Beale being named. So we're asking, you know, what's next, Rangers fans? What would your priority be day one, day two, day three in the training ground? What does he need to do? What does he need to address and address quickly? I've been interested, Gordon, in the debate about, not even so much the debate, about the discussion point that keeps coming up. And people use this in a positive and a negative sense, because they say, ah, Michael Beale was the brains, he was everything behind Steven Gerrard, so therefore that's a good thing because Steven Gerrard did a good job. Or that's not a good thing because he won only one trophy and should have won more. But what's been the real thread is Michael Beale apparently was the brains behind it all. Everyone seems to be agreeing on that, whether it was good or bad. But in that interview with Sky today, he's telling you that it's not going to be the same as the last time he was here.
We'll be working fast every single day to build. We need to grow every single day, and we need to work right now. The boys are aware of that. We've started the last 2 days. It's fair to say that it is slightly different to the work they have been doing, and it's even slightly different to the work that we did here previous. You know, Stephen was the manager, Gary was the assistant, and I was the first team coach. That was the hierarchy then. We all worked very well together, but it's fair to say I've got some slight, subtle changes to that. And obviously that will be different to the last 68 games I've had with Gio. So it's even though I'm coming back in and I know the players, we have to go through all that again and build this team again under my ideas and the staff alongside.
Yeah, I like that, Gordon. It's not just a case of, well, I worked with Stephen here, I was given a free rein, I was the brains behind it. I don't buy into all that. I think that takes a lot of credit away from the manager, Stephen Gerrard, and I think he's got to take a bit of credit, let's be honest about it. I like the fact that he's now looking and thinking, right, it's a different role. Because, as he said there, his first time at Rangers, first team coach, he's now the manager. He's got a lot of decisions to make. Everybody's talking about the training. The training will take care of itself. We know that he can handle that, no problem. Tactics will take care of itself. He's got man management to do now. He's got the press to do. He's got there's so many different things as a manager rather than just being a first team coach. And I think that's what he's trying to put over there. Listen, I'm going to tweak one or two things the way I want it done.
It'd be interesting to know, Mark, and maybe it will get covered in other interviews, if he'll still take the training or how much of it. Yeah. So Andy, again, that's why it was useful. Andy was telling us exactly. We asked him last night, how much of the training did Michael Beale take? And he said, you know, genuinely
everything.
Upwards of 90%. Yeah. You know, wonder if he'll still do that, or then is somebody else the new Michael Beale, if you like.
Yeah.
You know, the staff that he's brought up. So
it's sometimes quite hard to pull yourself away from that. If that is your bread and butter, what you're good at, what you've built success on, then it's hard for you just to go, I'm going to stand and watch. Because I think he'd be constantly thinking, no, I'm going to step in here, I'm going to step in again. I'd be surprised if he didn't take the majority. But the interesting thing about Michael Beale speaking there, a few slight subtle changes, so it's not going to be anything drastic. So I think the Rangers fans can probably look forward to seeing pretty much what Gerrard style of play was, with just a few wee tweaks.
What do you think then, James, who's on the line? What's first, what's next, what's the priority?
Good evening, gentlemen, I hope yous are well.
Thank you.
Lowry and Kent for me. I think if we can get Kent anywhere back to where he was before and re-engage with the idea, we might get a new contract out of him, and if he can be as good as he was before, I'll give him a contract as soon as we can. And Lowry, I don't think Lowry's ever let us down getting a game, and I know young boy, pressure on the lad, but I just think someone like that, and maybe the number 10 role for us, with that style of play, I think we'd do really well. So that's the two things that if I was focusing on, if we get Lowry back in the team sheet as soon as I can, as soon as he's fit, and then just get a system where Kent can be what it used to be for us rather than what he is at the moment.
Two interesting examples, Gordon, because one is, you know, playing a guy who previously wasn't getting played, so that's a big change, and the other one is somebody who does play all the time, but James wants him used differently.
Listen, every manager going into a new club says clean sheet, Gordon, to every player. That would have been his first opening gambit when he walked into that dressing room. Sat everybody down, clean sheet. It's up to you's competition for places, and that's up to Lowry as well. The only thing I will say there is James is talking about, well, if he can get Kent up and give him a new contract. I don't know if Kent wants to stay at Rangers. I think Kent's playing his ticket to get away. It'd be interesting. You know, he's certainly not set the heather on fire this season. I think the Rangers fans will be looking for a big improvement. I think he's got to, you know, have a good eye to eye with Morelos as well. Because let's be honest, I know Colak's been absolutely brilliant scoring goals. But if you look at it as a centre forward goes, if it's a fit Morelos or Colak, I'm taking Morelos because I think he's better at every department. So that's a big task for him. But listen, I think every player in there, you're talking about, you know, the Lowry's, you're talking about Morelos, Kent's. You look at the form of people like Kamara, who was absolutely brilliant.
Apparently a teacher's pet of Michael Beale from the previous time.
So there's a lot of players in there that he's got to get a tune out of. And that's the most important thing about it. We've heard so much about the compliments going over the city with Postecoglou. Look at Ralston's, for instance. Everybody thought he was going out the door. You know what I mean? Taylor. They're massive, massive players for Celtic now. Ralston's now a Scotland international. So that's where the impact that Rangers supporters and the Rangers board are hoping that Beale will have.
On Ryan Kent, Mark, you know, can you see him being used differently? I mean, he certainly, his most successful time would have come under Steven Gerrard, yeah. Michael Beale.
When they played that system, that was two number 10s, and maybe that's what James is alluding to. We maybe Lowry and Kent playing inside the park more than hugging the touchline. Certainly seemed to be where Kent was most comfortable, played his best football. So he might revert back to that. The interesting thing, Michael Beale, his man management skills will be put to the test, I think, with Kent Morelos. Because everybody knows, I agree with Daz, by the way, I think Kent does want to leave. I think, well, it's pretty obvious he's not signed yet. But how does Michael Beale handle that? You know, is he going to say, well, if you don't want to play for me, you can sit on the bench and sulk? Or is he going to say, by the way, if you want to move, which you will, the best way of doing it is playing some of the stuff that you did when I was here and dragging this team through, and I'll guarantee you get a good move at the end of this. That's the best way of dealing with it.
I think that's fair, James, because obviously we're asking it from the manager's perspective. What can he do differently? But is it going to take more than just moving Ryan Kent or asking him to do something different? Is the player himself going to need to dig deep and find something?
100%. I would be happy if we sold Kent in the winter to get some money in rather than he goes for a free. But if we're looking at what he needs to improve straight away, would improving Kent would be the best thing for the team. If it then meant to sign a contract and be committed, yeah, but I completely agree that the guy switched off this season, but whether that's been what he's been asked to do or whatever, so you never know if he gets back to what he liked to, because I think he's enjoyed his first two, maybe three seasons at the club. So I think, yeah, if the guy's working his ticket, I would sell him in the winter and just to get money into the club. But I think if Beale focuses and getting him better quicker, it'll be the better thing for the team. So,
what do you think then? Let's elaborate on your Lowry point, James, because I think loads of Rangers fans who are listening would probably agree with you. They'd definitely like to see him more. What's your reading of that situation? I know there's been an injury. Why has he featured so little? Is that a complete dislike from Giovanni van Bronckhorst, or again, is the player not doing something? Because he's gone from being quite a big hope. There was a lot of talk about his new contract. And then, yes, I know, I'll repeat it, the injury, but he's played 17 minutes against Ajax this season.
Yeah, I think I think he's better as a 10 than he is rather than going out wide. So as a 10, he's been up against Lawrence, who until injury I thought was probably one of our best players this season. And then Tillman getting into the middle has done really well overall, again playing through the middle rather than out wide. So I think it's maybe competitions on places. And with Tillman coming in, maybe just Gio preferred what he did in training, but I don't think Lowry's is a fair crack at the whip. But I think, yeah, if we played him as a 10 and gave him some game time, I think he would, because you're thinking as well, when you're talking about what we're going to spend in the summer and then this winter and then the summer, I think the people like Lowry and even maybe somebody like McCann, who can become better squad players, that could save us a good few million quid rather than having to go out getting more squad players, because I think we've already got players there good enough to do it.
Yeah, because right at the end, in fact, Gordon, of Giovanni van Bronckhorst's time, when everything was piling up on him, it was another comment that I think some Rangers fans didn't really agree with or didn't like or were curious about, when he was asked, is Alex Lowry fit? And he said, oh, he's fit, he's just not in the 20-man squad because there are other players that deserve to be there. At which point lots of Rangers fans were saying, well, who deserves to be there at the moment? Because no one's really... You just wonder, again, where's the balance there?
Yeah, he's under Van Bronckhorst, he was certainly down the pecking order, Gordon. It may change, as I say.
Might have been his fault, of course. I mean, we don't see what goes on behind
closed doors. Van Bronckhorst not give Lowry his chance, though? Bring him in the team, no?
Well, yeah, towards the end of last season, you mean?
Yeah, I thought Van Bronckhorst gave Lowry his debut. Am I wrong in saying that? I thought day one in the building, Van Bronckhorst brought him into first team training.
Yeah,
and
I think you might well be right. First team debut was that Stirling game January.
Did he come on and score or something early? Listen, the boys get talent.
So your reading of that then is that something's changed?
Well, they obviously rated him. I'm pretty sure we heard that was day one. He brought him up with the first team, started to train with him, then get into the first team, and he's fell away. Now, I've not seen enough of him to judge him in the games that he's been playing, but if he was that good and a standout in training, he would be playing. Because you make a good point, Gordon.
I thought he'd played more for the first team, actually. Eight first team appearances. I thought it was more.
Yeah, but I think there's an opportunity now with the fact that I think Michael Beale will be looking to promote one or two, because that's brilliant on your CV. See if you can get
fans love it, don't they? The idea of it.
And plus, the fact if you look at the other end of the scale, that for instance, Davis getting on a bit, obviously Arfield getting on a little bit, Kamara's form has been terrible, he'll be looking to improve that, so there may just be an opening. Obviously Tom Lawrence has had a long term injury. Tillman has been, you know, 1 week you think, oh, he's really on it now, and then the next week he's away back. So there's a lot of work to be done there, and I think there's a lot of opportunities. If you're a Lowry, for instance, thinking, right, okay, if I show this manager day in, day out, I get an opportunity, it's up to me to grasp that.
Thank you, James. What about Gavin and Stevenson? Gavin, what sort of moves would you be making if you were Michael Beale?
I think as well as develop the young players coming through that's been mentioned there, we need to bring in some signings in January that's going to excite and give the fans a lift. That's what's happened in the past, and that's what we need. I think somebody like Billy Gilmer would be fantastic. It would be a big challenge to get him up the road, but somebody like that coming in that needs game time, and we need somebody in the middle of the park that would give the fans a lift for going into next year.
Mark, he's not had much game time at all at Brighton. Is he likely to go on loan so quickly?
Billy Gilmer, maybe. Listen, he's somebody with exceptional talent who wants to play. He's finding it difficult in England at the minute. He's got to find a home that he can play 30, 40, 50 games, you know, without long breaks in his career. He's at a stage now that he's at real crossroads, and he's a terrific player. If there was some sort of miracle that Rangers could entice him up to Scotland, I think he would... He would flourish up here. I think he's the type of player that may find it easy to take the ball in tight positions and play. However, of course, with Billy Gilmore, the wage situation and what he would demand might be out of Rangers' reach.
He's not a million miles off it at Brighton, Gordon. It's not like he's sitting in the stand, but you can't really spin it much more positively than that. He's not really playing when he's coming on. Even for a couple of, I think he's come on four times in the Premier League. You're talking 89th, 84th, 83rd, I think 89th twice. I think the only game he started was that EFL Cup game against Arsenal. Did play 90 minutes and they did win. I don't know, is he far enough out of the picture there to already go out on loan when he's only just arrived in the summer?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really do, Gordon. I think Mark made a great point. Forget about Rangers, talk about Billy Gilmore. He needs to get to a club where that, you know, is going to give him the opportunity to play basically week in, week out if he's performing. Now, nobody's guaranteed a game, nobody should be, but at least give an opportunity to go and play and show what you're all about. His career, for everyone saying how talented a player he is, it's not going forward. You know, it's for me, it's stopped still just now.
And he's 21.
Exactly. So he needs a home, as Mark said, that believes in him.
I suppose what I was asking though, Mark, you've done it all. You've been there starting 11. You've been on the bench. You'll have been in the stand. if he's on the bench...
I've done that in 5 weeks.
If he's on the bench every week and he's that sort of, you know, maybe he's maybe one of the subs, does that mean you're only an injury or two away from being needed a lot more? And I'm talking about the likelihood. I'm not saying they'll be happy at coming on in the 89th minute. Oh, I'm talking about that sort of pecking order of...
I suppose if you were going to be, you'd be coming on in games a lot earlier than he has been. So I'm guessing that'll be in his mind. I think he'll be a wee bit demoralised with how that switches went from.
And I think he left straight away, didn't he?
He'll be desperate to play.
What makes you think that move would suit both parties, Gavin?
Well, I think there was a lot of talk about Graham Potter and how he went there because of the style of play. You know, possession-based football, expansive football, and Michael Beale's got a great reputation as a young coach coming through, and obviously he has his Rangers links, so, and Ty, so it could be an opportunity. I know it would be tough, but I think we need something like that in January as well to give the fans a lift, and it might suit all parties.
Well, we'll see, Gavin, we'll see what the wish list looks like. Thank you. 01419511025. Perfect time to call. You could be up next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Diel and Mark Wilson are here. It's 01419511025. We are building up to games in the World Cup tonight, of course, as well. Some big ones. And what teams not too far away, Wales and England clashing at 7 o'clock, and in the same group, Iran and USA. Celtic fans, you might be interested to know that Cameron Carter-Vickers gets his first start in the World Cup in the centre of defence. It's not ideal, you want a bit more of a vested interest, but it's always good if you can't be there. If Scotland can't be there, you're looking out for your team's players, aren't you? So it was Juranovic the other night, and he was up against Alistair Johnson, who might sign for Celtic. Well, tonight it's Cameron Carter-Vickers.
Aaron Moy, who was terrific, got to say, for Australia.
Carter-Vickers, I think, deserves it. You know, looking at the US in the first game especially.
Who's the USA?
Iran. Yeah. Yeah.
You've got to pronounce it properly.
You've got to pronounce it properly, or you get busted. But we're all hoping for a Wales win, are we not?
No, I'm England.
I'm
fed up of this nonsense.
You've
we don't
a bit
like
of Ian Rush.
I had a lot of
there,
great memories in England, so I'm going for England. I've still got a house down there.
Give us a non-football related.
To be
good
fair,
memory.
I'm not getting the keys. So I'm certainly going.
Yeah,
for
I mean,
it.
Your name might still be on the house, but would you be allowed into it?
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't have the keys.
Right, that's different then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Phil Foden starts. Are you a big fan of that? And there's been all the talk down there this week.
He's a City lad, isn't he? I'm always going for my old club.
Of course.
Terrific talent. I'll be interested. I just think Wales haven't got the energy to keep up with England tonight. But it's been a poor World Cup, I've got to say. I've not enjoyed it.
For a night he's on. We'll find out in the near future when it kicks off. Let's bring in Alan in Cote Bridge. What's the priority for your new manager, Alan? What are the things he should be looking to address early on?
I think I'd like to speak to, obviously, the Dazzler. His many, many contacts he has in terms of a good goalkeeper for Rangers, centre-half, centre-mid and centre-forward. The spine of the team, as we keep talking about, as I've heard on the show many times, we've got plenty of players round about, left wing, right wing, midfield, flooded, Tavernier, never gets dropped, Barisic, do we need somebody there? So I think that's what Michael Beale's modus operandi is going to be.
What do you think, Gordon? How much is it about?
Definitely going forward, there'll be a goalkeeper mind. Of that, there's absolutely no doubt. McGregor come to the end of his contract and probably end his career. This will be his last season at Rangers, probably. Through the centre-half situation, you look at, there's a few injuries in there. You've got Golson, you've got Suter, you've got Davis, you've got Hollander, you've got, you know, King that's been playing. So they seem to have numbers in the centre half position. Middle of the park, is it an opportunity for a Lowry, a young kid to come through and show what he's all about, capable? Because obviously Davis and Arfield and players like that are running down the clock. And then certainly I would be looking at the number 9 berth. There's no doubt in that for me, because Colak will not play every single game. Morelos' fitness is way below. It'll be interesting to see how he performs under Michael Beale this time. But I think going forward, centre forward is a must for me.
I mean, in terms of the structure, Mark, this is the whole point of Ross Wilson's existence, is to so that things are meant to be able to stay continuous. There's that element of continuity there. I do wonder though, still on top of that, how much Michael Beale is thinking about, right, let's fix things right now, let's fix this season, let's try and close the gap to Celtic. Who knows, maybe Michael Beale is ambitious and still thinks he can pull back that gap and win the league. Or how much will Michael Beale be involved in maybe signing someone in January to prepare for the future? You know, whether it is Alan McGregor or whether it's Arfield or Davis, you know, does that get done now?
I think he's got to be. I think he's got to have targets. I'm sure Michael Beale would have had targets for QPR coming up to the next window. Now, obviously, that may differ slightly, but he'll still know players down south that are maybe going to be easier to get than others. So I'm pretty sure he would have said to Ross Wilson, listen, these are a list of players that I'm interested in. If you can make that happen, then these will fit into my ideas for the coming months, years, however long he's there. It's up to Ross Wilson to then get it over the line. There's no doubt the Rangers team needs refreshed, and that comes down to Ross Wilson in a big way. He agreed to keep on Alan McGregor and Steve Davis and Arfield, and the Rangers team have become stagnant with those guys in it. Even though they've been great servants to the club, you could see it's taken a lot out the team in terms of energy, and Ross Wilson is culpable in that respect.
His recruitment's incredibly important now, Gordon. And plus the fact, you're not just talking about players coming in. He's got to identify players that's going to go out. He likes to play with the system, the two number 10s at play in behind the centre forward. You look then as Matondo, for instance, Sakala, players like that. Kent obviously running down his contract. So he's got to be looking in these areas to say, right, this is my style of football, this is the way I want to play, this is the formation I play. So their guys there are no good to me whatsoever. But he's got to give a bit of positivity to the Rangers fans. You look across the city, I keep comparing it, Postecoglou's already on the front foot, bringing players in, Celtic fans excited with the new signings, watching, you know, potentially in the World Cup. Rangers have got to do the same. It's okay Michael Beale going in there and saying, well, he'll change things and he'll get the team better and he'll be fitter and they'll enjoy training. Rangers fans want to see things that are happening. They want to hear about players coming in January, who we're looking forward to. This is the way he strengthens his team. This is style of football that he's going to play. So, as I said earlier, as much as I think a lot of Rangers fans are delighted to have Michael Beale in the building, it's a massive job he's got ahead of him.
Just in terms of very small clues at early stage, Mark, I think it's well known there's pictures, videos and whatnot of Michael Beale's first training sessions. There are some young players involved. I was looking at the B team because they play open goal Broomhill tonight in the Lowland League, and Rangers are, you know, without the likes of Alec Lowry and Lovelace, and so there's a few of the kind of main players in the B team that are not playing tonight, presumably because Michael Beale's keeping them closer just now and having a look.
I think he'll want to have a look at them, you know, firsthand. I think he's probably seen all he'd be able to see from those players already playing in those games. So he wants to see them firsthand against his first team players and see how they do. I think he will see those kind of players involved, and I think that's the right way to go. I think players, young players who are hungry to succeed and get in the team, are always going to do better for you than players who are running down the clock.
Cheers, Alan. Nice to hear from you.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, come on. It's only Tuesday, so let's see if we can get the listeners back on level terms. Andy Halliday, we've not had the pleasure of his company in a few weeks. He's got a new hairdo. We wondered how that would affect his performances.
He's got a new.
What did he get?
Do. He's
number
not here.
Back sides.
Well, no, I mean, he's
he
like,
got a Turkey special.
He got a new
Turkey special. There you go.
Show that in, boy. That's not fake. Planted. It's real. It's his. It's just
a big showing.
Marisco grow on it.
He's got two needles out the back of his head walking about.
So he was
well, watering can.
He was a bit nervous
under
about his return, but he got over the line on the tiebreaker.
How much is that thing going to grow then?
What do you mean?
That hair. Is that just...
Oh, a bit of Miracle-Gro on it will be
is it
good as
like yours? Like as thick as yours?
What the hell is it?
Hang on, I'm interested
he,
in this.
He asked especially to stand under that big light last night. Honestly, he went out there, he needed a haircut.
I tell you what, you could be doing McGinn in there as well, seeing your ball patch.
It's actually burnt mings.
01419511025. If you want to beat the pundit, and it's quite easy on a Tuesday night, now is your chance to call. You have to call before 7, and let's see what you've got against these two.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. We've just kicked off in the 7 o'clock games in the World Cup this evening. Still Wales 0, England 0, 3 minutes gone. And similar time on the clock, Iran 0, USA 0. Both quite interesting fixtures. Obviously plenty of players we're familiar with in the Wales-England game. And you Celtic fans will be interested to note that Cameron Carter-Vickers is starting for the USA tonight as well, his first World Cup start. So we'll keep a close eye to see how he does. Get your calls in, lots as you would expect, on Michael Beale. If you want to change that topic completely, throw us something else, we are here for it. So pick up the phone and let us know. We'll do this first though.
Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, come on, beat the pundit time. How's the form from you two? Yeah. Remind me.
I nearly got a 10 on Thursday.
So you did, you got 6 out of 6, didn't you?
I won last Tuesday, yeah.
Okay, let's find out who's on the line. It's Brendan and Irvine. How's it going, Brendan?
Gordon, how are you?
Yeah, not bad. It says you're a Celtic fan, Brendan. Are you the type that watches the World Cup and sees Carter Vickers and plays close attention to see how your players are doing?
Sorry, really poor signal here.
Oh no, that's not what we need,
Brendan.
That's not what we need on Beat the Pundit. Nothing worse than a poor signal. Look, you two are delighted. You think you're going to win by default, don't you?
No, not at all. Pull in, Brendan.
Oh, but no, but it's nothing look worse.
Look for a signal. Look
for
the bars.
Asking the questions, then you don't know if they can hear
you. He's blew it. He's big chance.
Oh, we could try again.
Like, he's on the move.
You two are going to need to fill here. Let's see how good. Let's see how good you are.
Well,
let's see how your professional broadcasting skills hold up
as we go along here. Well, I tell you what, Brendan obviously doesn't pay much attention to Carter Vickers because he's obviously out and about not watching a bad signal, which is poor.
Good point, that's a great point. Some people get bad signal in the house though, but he did sound like he was in the car.
No, he was out, you can hear he's out. I don't know what he's doing, especially when Carter Vickers.
I think we've got him, just let's ignore my small talk, that'll just make things worse.
I'm filling, I don't know what he's doing. He was going on to Brendan's day.
Brendan's going to get slaughtered.
Brendan, are you ready for this Beat the Pundit?
Aye, let's go.
Good man, I'll toss the coin. Heads will take on Mark Wilson, and tails it will be Gordon DL. So let's see what we've got. And it is heads. It's
yes.
Mark Wilson
yes.
up against Brendan and Irvine. So
to.
We'll give Mark some Clyde too. Make sure he can't hear us and get your questions ready, Brendan. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and you're fine to pass if you don't know, okay?
Yep.
Right, let's go. Which English side did Janino leave to join Celtic in 2004?
Hello?
This is a nightmare. This is a nightmare. Right, get Brendan back on another time when he's in the house. Let's stop getting guys on that are in the car if we can. Mark Wilson, I'm going to bring you back temporarily.
Oh boy,
Mark, you get 10 out of 10 straight away and hung up.
I got 6.
He was unbelievable.
Is he?
Asked the first question and he went,
do you know what
happened? Well, hold on, see if he comes back on. You can't ask that question again because Brendan's at it.
We'll get someone else on.
Brendan.
Do you think he was at it? Do you think he just quickly went to Google it?
Brendan didn't know that answer and he just...
Brendan didn't hear the question.
What was the question?
Brendan would have known that. That's an easy question to
tell
kick us
off. Tell him to get a top up the next
which
time.
Which means
comes
if you
on.
Get it wrong, your bottle will crash, Mark. It's an easy one, right?
Well,
we've got a backup contestant. Milo, how's it going?
All good, mate. Yourself?
Good, right. I'm about to give Mark Wilson some Clyde 2 and we'll put 30 seconds on the clock. Are you ready? Pressure straight on. Let's go. 30 seconds. Your time starts now. Which English side did Janino leave to join Celtic in 2004?
Middlesbrough.
Which Rangers player has been with the club longer, Ryan Jack or Scott Arfield?
Ryan Jack.
Who was the permanent Scotland manager before Craig Levein took over?
Craig Brown.
Who was the last person to manage Motherwell who'd never played for the club?
Pass.
Which Scottish Premiership side would feature last if it was in alphabetical order?
Preston.
Stephen Humphreys is on loan at Hearts from which English side?
Preston.
Okay, let's bring Mark back. They're quite tough, are they not?
Are they
tricky?
They were good. They were good. He'll struggle.
They were good, what does that mean?
Hard
easy.
Hard good.
Hard good.
Mark.
Great communication skills there. That was brilliant. Mark, are you ready?
I like that.
Same set of questions. You ready? Let's go. Which English side did Janinho leave to join Celtic in 2004?
Middlesbrough.
Which Rangers player has been with the club longer, Ryan Jack or Scott Arfield?
Jack.
Who was the permanent Scotland manager before Craig Levein took over?
Alex McLeish.
Who was the last person to manage Motherwell who'd never played for the club?
Graham Alexander.
Which Scottish Premiership side would come last if it was in alphabetical order?
Oh, Ross County.
Stephen Humphreys is on loan at Hearts from which English team?
Liverpool.
Milo, what's the verdict?
I don't like his clothes.
Janinho came from Middlesbrough.
Middlesbrough, yeah.
It was quite an easy one, wasn't it? Ryan Jack has been there longer. You both got that. So we're level. He was June 2017, Arfield May 2018. I must admit, who gave you your Scotland cap?
Craig Levein.
Right. Who was the manager before that?
I thought it was Alex McLeish, but because you're asking me the question again, obviously not.
Obviously not. So, but do you not even remember Watersmith. Thinking, why is this guy? Why is this guy not
was
calling
that a foreigner?
Me up?
Thing me.
Were you never close?
George Burley.
Burley.
Aye, George Burley.
I mean, if Levein called you up, were you never close before that?
I should have been. Thanks for bringing it up. We can do a full show on that if you want.
Well,
clearly I still feel quite aggrieved about it.
You've paid close attention to the one era. No, it's not. It's a good save from the Wales goalkeeper.
False.
Come on, this
there.
Is good. This is a good game.
It was George Burley.
Did he get it? Milo
no,
get it?
He didn't. So it's still 2-2. Who was the last person to play for Motherwell who'd never last person to manage Motherwell who'd never played for the club? It is Graham Alexander. Milo. He goes
yes,
to
Milo.
Front.
Great shout.
Milo, you're going to kick yourself here. Which Scottish Premiership side would feature last if it was in alphabetical order? It's certainly not Ross County, but it's not St Johnston either. It's St Mirren. Milo.
Oh, unlucky Milo.
Which means it's all coming down to this. Milo needs it to equalise. Which English side has Stephen Humphreys on loan from?
Is it Liverpool?
No, it's Wigan.
I say Liverpool.
Which means Mark Wilson wins it. Mark Wilson wins it by,
Liverpool, stop my
by 3-2. Hard lines, yes. Milo.
No worries, well done, Mark.
Cheers, Milo. Man, I feel Milo came on and answered the call of duty, went straight on.
He did.
And that was a good game. Lost out.
That was a good game up until he got two, and then
you
went off track. You only got three for what it's worth. So,
you know, I must admit, I would have only had two there. I went Stephen Robinson. I forgot about Alexander.
I would love to have heard who you think is last in alphabetical order.
Oh, do you know who my Scotland manager was?
Who?
Bertie Vogts.
No. You're a few out on that one.
Was it? I would have probably went Ross County as well.
Why would you admit that even now
exactly
that you know the
attention?
It's a bit of honesty in the show,
I know, but
I think.
It's just neatly ignoring.
Nobody even asked you about
St.
that. And you've
I thought St Mirren was very difficult. That's a guess for anyone.
It's people know really the alphabet.
Think about it. Under pressure, 30 seconds, it's near the last question. You're just going to go with anything. Aberdeen, I'd have went.
I love that he's moaning about the questions, even though you won the point.
Speaking of you two horrible quizzers, if you're listening, check out our latest video either at Clyde SSB on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, the lot. It's there. It's me, these two, I think Marvin Bartley, Roger Hanna, the likes, having a go at the latest edition of the Emoji Game, where producer Callum and his production pals place some
production pals.
Place some
the worst group in the world.
Do you know what's worse about this? He's pointing at himself saying it's just me.
Is it just you?
Did you film it? No, there was somebody else holding the camera. So give people some credit where it's due, will you? It's us trying to come up with footballers' names as spelled out by emojis.
Difficult.
You're hopeless at it.
No, I'm not.
It's a World Cup special as well.
I don't like World Cup. But do you know what makes it worse? We Des, right? He's standing
there. The camera
there, guy. Aye, with the hat and the glasses. And he tries to give you the most stupidest look I've ever seen in my life.
That's not his name, you know that, yeah?
Who, Des?
I think it's his name's Shane. It's nothing.
But
it's
he started calling him Des because he's from New Zealand and got the accent, and he was calling him Shane was calling him Des. All right, Des.
So anyway,
so he started calling him.
Here's a little clip of what you can expect.
What you've done here, you've captured Gordon DL. It's an emoji.
That looks like Gordon DL's nose in the first one.
Big nose emoji, Gordon DL. His nose is so big he can smell a Sunday dinner on a Thursday.
Who's that? Is that you?
That was me. That was not me at all.
Big white teeth.
You can't escape that.
Is that you? Who was that?
It sounds like you're getting it.
Just out of curiosity, did he just try and criticise someone for having white teeth? That's a new one, I must admit. That's like criticising someone for having like the right things in place. That's not your best. That's a low moment from you.
By the way, was the first one that happened?
Your mic's off.
I'm going to shout. Was the first one that happened?
I think it was Roger Hanna.
Imagine
yeah.
him slaughtering him with that head. Yeah, bulldog. <he'd, laughs> being a wasp.
You've got a thing about Roger.
Do you know what I've noticed of all the things?
It goes when you get Roger.
The things that he's bad at: geography.
Yeah.
And then slagging people.
I know.
I mean,
but I don't like slagging people. I'm very nice to
not
people.
Not great at it. Anyway,
what's the problem with Roger's head?
He's like a big bulldog, isn't he?
Every time Gordon,
when he talks,
every time Gordon
lost.
Tries to slag someone, it reminds me of the infamous Charlie Nicholas, Jeff Stelling. You should have put your glasses on. It's always got that vibe. It's always got that feel where I don't think he knows what he's going to say next.
Yeah.
So no one else.
It's off the cuff.
Anyway, get your calls in 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. What are you making of these World Cup games so far? Anything doing in them, Mark Wilson?
Well, no, England had a good chance when Daz falsely broadcast it was 1-0. Sterling should have scored. Was it Sterling? No, Rashford should have scored. There's nothing much in it, really. I'm not really watching the other one because it's behind me, Gordon, so you'll be able to.
I'm keeping an eye on that one. I'm on Cameron Carter-Vickers' watch. You Celtic fans can get in touch and let us know what you're making of his performance or anything else that you're taking away from the World Cup. I always used to like watching the World Cup and just randomly plucking guys out of nowhere and thinking that your team should sign them, Mark. I mean, don't get me wrong. As a Motherwell fan, you're not signing too many who've been at the World Cup.
I was going to say, it must have been short of supply for you. But that was a good thing about the Summer World Cups, because you had this big window after that and you're like, oh, I wonder if my team
still
can...
get the January window around the corner.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean,
but
when Chad Urie was lining up the World Cup, did you ever envisage he would come and, you know, take your place?
That's a low blow. It's a low blow.
Just curious.
That's a low blow. Well, I seen him off. I sent him back, didn't I? Back into... Mm. Was it Germany? Actually, I think he got a better move than
than Bristol.
Well, Bristol, aye.
There is a serious part to it, I suppose, though, Gordon. If you're a Celtic fan, if you're Ange Postecoglou, there's a couple of ways you look at it. Ange Postecoglou, Cameron Carter-Vickers presumably can become a better player from performing on a World Cup stage. And if you want to look at it from a cynical business point of view, if he has a good World Cup, or even... No, I'm not saying it all on one good performance, but you never know, it could add a little bit to the price tag should the day come where you want to move them on. It's the ultimate shop window, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. No bigger stage in the World Cup, getting an opportunity. You know, if he does produce the goods, Gordon, of course your stock rises. That's what happens. We've seen it before. Carter Vickers, he's having a terrific time at Celtic. He's a very, very good centre-half. And I'm like Mark, obviously you can see behind. I don't know how he's doing tonight, but I'm delighted the boy's got a shot tonight, because he's certainly, in club form, he deserves it. And as I say, no bigger stage in the World Cup to perform.
It's always something you felt, Mark, when players in the dressing room were away at a major tournament. Now every time it came around, we'd be sort of feeling sorry for ourselves and arguing about where it's gone wrong. Was there an excitement there on behalf of your teammates, or, you know, when they came back, did you sense that they were better for the experience?
Listen, just asking them about the experience, I was always intrigued what it was actually like to take in the full, you know, camp that they're in, and how isolated they are, and what they get up to, you know, in their spare time, because it's a unique experience. But I always felt that they came back with a bit of buzz about them, because it is such a great stage. Even teams that were put out early doors, they still get back with a buzz of playing at a major tournament. And it's great to pit yourself against the best players in the world. Because you're at a World Cup, doesn't mean you're a world beater, but you get to play against some of the best.
I know who that was aimed at. You hear that? Have you ever noticed this before? He has got a real bee in his bonnet about Edson Braffide. I've noticed this.
Well,
because he played in a World Cup final.
Let me reword that. Playing in a World Cup final does not make you a world beater, but you're playing against some of the best. I still can't believe it.
What was up with him?
Well, it just wasn't a nice person.
Was he not?
No. It's just...
So it was not ability, it was just a nice person.
He had a decent ability, but you know what he did? He came, he just kept trying to nutmeg people in training. You know, not taking that serious. And
from right, was he a left back?
Left back. Every time he got the ball, he would roll his studs over it and like tie somebody in and try and nutmeg him. And he just kept losing the ball. And then he would moan that he wasn't getting play. Oh, anyway, don't get me started, Nathan.
He's your type of player, isn't
he? Yeah, I like him.
No, do you know who's your type of player? If there's only two players on the planet, Cristiano Ronaldo and you. You would have claimed that last night.
100%.
You would have run off.
Oh yeah, I would have claimed that all day. I've actually done that in my career. I claimed one or two that probably wasn't.
Absolutely.
Listen, there's no harm in that. There's no disgrace
it's
in that.
It's a bit weird though.
No, it's
I mean,
not.
If you don't touch it, you don't touch it. No, he knows he didn't touch
you're
it.
You're near it. You're a person.
There is no harm in that.
Absolutely not.
The guy that scores the goal.
Every striker.
Is it Fernandez that put it in? So he's thinking I've.
But
I've
if you had made that
mark.
Run, if you had made that jump, if you didn't look like you were going to just have a flick on that, the goalkeeper would have probably got it.
The shameful thing is, in his day, you totally get away with it because now no you've technology. Got 4K Ultra HD TVs, and now apparently Adidas have piped up and said they can tell that I was unaware that was a thing.
What gave away was his celebration.
But
he didn't do the Ronaldo
in
celebration.
In your day, we're talking black and white TV, Mitre Delta.
Yeah.
So you would just be able to say that you touched it.
Oh yeah, run away with the arm
that,
up in the
that
air.
Nose, that nose would have touched it.
Oh, I'd have burst in it if I'd have hurt it in my nose. But
I wonder if see if Nike sponsored the tournament. I wonder if they would have came out as quickly as Adidas did and said, "No, they didn't."
Yeah,
Ronaldo
because
didn't
they're
touch
Ronaldo's
it.
Man.
Aye.
Very cynical. Someone actually sent me a clip of you missing a sitter or something.
Me?
Yeah, I'll need
not
to dig
at
out.
All.
I'll need to dig
I've
out
never missed a sitter.
Where was it? Yeah, I'll dig it out later. Anyway, 01419511025. Get your calls in. What is on your mind tonight? Going to look back on some of the highlights from that Scottish Cup draw last night. What did you make of that? I know Celtic fans, it's a home tie against Morton. Maybe you've, and by the way, Dougie Imrie's the manager. That'll bring back bad memories. I remember working there that night. I think that was the League Cup, wasn't it? Rangers fans, it's, can it be called boring at this stage? It's another Premiership team that you play. In fact, you just lost, dropped points there not so long ago. No, you did lose in Perth. I'm getting my Saints mixed up. Some of the highlights for the lower league clubs. Anyone out there want to get their thoughts in, please do. But before we take any more calls, I just want to run this past you because very important stuff this time of year.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. J&D Pierce, structural steelwork specialists, proud to support the local community.
To absolutely everyone, apart from Gordon DL, because he's the ultimate Scrooge, it is definitely that season. Christmas tree shopping at the weekend.
Oh, nice.
Ewan's a wee out seeing some Christmas lights tonight. You know, it's that everybody's starting to get into that.
Yeah.
That sort of feel good factor. But the harsh reality to bring that all crashing back down is for a lot of people this time of year, it's actually just an added stress and there's not that excitement because they live the rest of the year close to or across that poverty line. And this time of year just makes it even harder. And we know that it's winter, we've got the cost of living crisis, it's making things difficult for everyone. Never mind those people who are already struggling. So we're just trying to make a little bit of a difference this year, but we need your help. Now, we're asking you to do whatever you can for Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. And just to give you a bit of an insight into the types of things we're talking about, the types of places that your money goes, let's hear from Don Middleton. Now, Don's from the Motherwell Football Club Community Trust. They help to keep children active over the holidays. They make sure that they're getting food every day that they actually wouldn't at home. Because they're not at school. So here Don's just going to tell us a little bit about the work they do in the local community.
Stigma is very important to us, so we don't want parents bringing children to a food club. It's very important they're coming to a holiday club or to a football club, and if they can have 6 hours of football with a free lunch included, it takes all the pressure off the parents. A lot of this, what we're seeing, is in-work poverty, so it's parents who are doing their best but they just can't make ends meet.
Loads of good charities out there, I get that. But the thing about Cash for Kids, we are talking right here on our doorsteps. Like you're hearing from Don at Motherwell Football Club Community Trust, it's right on Gordon DL's doorstep. It used to be right on my doorstep. These are children right here in our communities that need your help this Christmas if you can. So if you go to Clyde1.com/mission, you'll find out all the details. That's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with J&D Pierce.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025 if you want to join in. And please do. If you're interested in the World Cup, it's currently Wales 0, England 0, and the same scoreline between Iran and the USA, about 26 minutes gone in those matches. Now we're about to look back on some of the highlights from the Scottish Cup draw last night. If you have any thoughts, please share them with us. I've got a quick teaser for you. What I'm going to do is I'll set it up, I'll give you some thinking time, and you can get back to me with your answers. Tonight's teaser for you two is this: there are 11 players that have scored 100% of the penalties they've taken in the Scottish Premiership this season. Who are they? 11 players have scored 100% of the penalties they've taken in the Scottish Premiership this season. I will leave that with you. What was your favourite tie drawn out in the Scottish Cup draw last night?
Well, you've got to look at the Edinburgh Derby as a big, massive tie. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what,
we tripped our bro for you, Motherwell up there.
Yeah, difficult.
We should send him to that. Producer Callum.
Yeah.
January sent him to Gayfield for the Motherwell game. He'll cover it for us.
And I've got to say, very interesting in the Darvel, because I know Ayrshire football very well. Aberdeen.
Oh, absolutely. And Mark, with your Dundee United tap.
Yep, Stirling Uni.
Who you tipped at the weekend.
Yeah, I did. So they get their rewards, you know, get a Premiership side. Great for them. Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think Gordon's right. He's teed us up nicely. Darvel against Aberdeen. They were joined on the line by Darvel manager Mick Kennedy. Mick, how did you feel when that draw came out last night?
I think, obviously, prior to the draw taking place, it was a fair bit of a tie that we've probably been, like, one of the favourites, maybe try and win it. But if you're not going to get that, then obviously you want to attract one of the biggest clubs in the country, and I think outside probably Old Firm, Aberdeen fit that sort of remit. So it's a fantastic draw for the club, a fantastic occasion for the community when it comes around as well.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what you've had to do to get there. You've gone to, you know, higher league opposition in Montrose, beat them really well 5-2 over the weekend. What's the secret been to the cup run so far?
I think also the pyramid system, certainly the level between League 1, League 2 and maybe Tier 5 and Tier 6, the gap's not as big as probably people would expect. So I think when these ties come round, then there's usually an upset or two every year. So I don't think there's much of a surprise. I think obviously playing away from home, I think Montrose are obviously doing really well in League 1 this year. I'm not sure how many people expect to be up there and win so comfortably. So it was a fantastic performance and a great result as well. So it was fully deserved.
What can a tie like Aberdeen do for the club, I guess, financially? The players, the chance to play on that stage, and I guess you as a manager as well, it must have a lot of benefits to it.
Massive. First and foremost, for the community. I think when we set out in the journey a couple of years ago to try and progress with the pyramid, then part of that process, at some point you want to try and attract some of the top clubs to the ground, and obviously that big Scottish Cup allows us to do that. That's probably one of the romantic parts of the competition, that these things occur out every season where it's clubs far down the pyramid who get to play against one of the top clubs. So that's part of the attraction of the Scottish Cup. For the players, it's sort of exciting, for something to look forward to. Some of the guys have played in the SPL at some point in their career as well, which is a benefit to us. And from my perspective, listen, you want to try and challenge yourself as high as possible level as you can, and I'm sure they don't come much higher than this.
I mean, I know a lot of our listeners will, but for those who don't, you have invested heavily in the stadium and the surroundings, the changing rooms. You sort of went viral on social media a couple of years ago. Looks like a terrific setup. The pitch has then, you know, followed since then. So it maybe doesn't carry that same what's the word I'm looking for? You know, when teams from a higher level get drawn and they're going to really, really tough places, maybe you've actually created quite a nice playing environment. Was that always part of the idea, that you could, you know, host these occasions? Sometimes we see teams down the pyramid or whatever, when they get a big team, they move it and then they play the game somewhere else. But I take it that's not in the thinking.
No, I think obviously we made the decision to try and progress through the pyramid. We want to invest in our infrastructure to allow us to try and attract and retain quality players. So that was primarily the thing behind that. Obviously, the changing rooms they're up there with some of the best in the country, including the SPL and that. It's fantastic arena for the guys to be changing that. And the playing surface, again, is probably up there with any club out with the top six in SPL. Obviously, all grassroots look after some of the biggest clubs parts in the country. So in terms of the actual playing surface and environment, I don't think that Aberdeen will find it that particularly difficult. Maybe some other grounds further down the pyramid might be a difficult surface, but our surface is certainly a very high standard. And there was never a thought process to move it. We obviously, from a commercial perspective, would have made significant more funds if we maybe moved to Kilmarnock or something, a local ground. But I think everybody made the decision quite early on that we wanted to try and bring the game to the town and play at home, because that's about what the hard work's been in over the last few years to try and build the club and progress it. So if these occasions come round, it's only fair that everybody gets a reward for that.
How much belief, I mean, look, I know it's a bit away, you've got big league games to take care of, in fact you're doing very well, and on top of that, Premier Division in the West of Scotland League as well. Do you just, are you the type of manager, Mike, you're going to have to set out with the belief that you can beat Aberdeen? All the outsiders, I'm sure, will acknowledge the supposed gulf, but are you honestly going to go at it and try and instill that belief that you can cause what would be one of the all-time upsets?
Of course, going up to Montrose on Saturday, full belief that we got one in the game. I think anybody who watched it, we, not only did we score 5 goals, we dominated last parts of possession. I think it was about 60-odd% possession. We're a sort of possession-based side. We try and quite progressive, try and develop and build to the back continuously. That will no change on the day when we play Aberdeen. We'll be fairly attacking. We'll try and go win the game. Listen, there's absolutely a doubt there'll be a massive gulf, and certainly the experience and quality to the game, all the level some of the guys have played it, we'll certainly go into the confidence. I'll try and instill as much belief in the guys that we can go and win the game. We certainly won't sit in intentionally anyway. The game might progress that way in terms of how Aberdeen approach it, and how maybe they turned into the end of it dominating the game. But we'll certainly go and try and be progressive, try and dominate possession, and we'll give it a proper go. That will certainly be our sort of approach to the game.
Brilliant. All the best, Mick. Thanks for taking the time.
No worries, guys. Take care. Have a nice evening.
Good man, Andrew. That was Mick Kennedy, Darvel manager. As Mick says, Gordon, you set out on that Scottish Cup, and you know it's a new feeling. This never been in the Scottish Cup. No real Scottish in the senior Scottish Cup. No history in the competition, and already you're through to this stage and taking on Aberdeen at your home patch. It's incredible.
By the way, I'll tell you what, the result in the weekend was excellent because they were away from home against the Montrose team that are a decent side. The thing I'll go against them, and I hate to say this, their setup's absolutely brilliant. Their dressing rooms and everything, you know, they've put so much work and effort and commitment into getting it right. Aberdeen will go down there. It's not like the days that you as a big team, you turn up and the manager's thinking, you know, we're going into shabby dressing rooms, the pitch has got to be terrible, the surroundings have got to be terrible. Aberdeen will be okay down there, but it'll be a difficult game. Jim Goodwin will have his players well warned that they'll need to be at it.
I think it was a brilliant cup draw, Mark. Sort of just overall, just from a snapshot, you know, everybody's got their own personal feelings, but we've got some massive ties in there. An Edinburgh derby, for instance. You've got then a couple of Premiership ties, so you know that the draw can then open up because teams are going to drop out. You look at Rangers, obviously, going to Perth to take on St Johnstone. It's a chance for high-flying Morton to cause what would be an incredible upset. And then you've got that. You're Darvel at home to Aberdeen. Stirling Uni getting to go to Dundee United. It had a bit of everything, didn't it?
Brilliant. Especially for Darvel and Stirling Uni. You know, you want to draw one of the big guns because, like, not bursting Drumchapel's bubble here, but you can go to Elgin and get easily put out. Maybe not be televised. There's maybe not that interest that you thought you were going to get. So for Darvel and Stirling Uni, they've got a shot at the big boys. I think for the Darvel players especially, who have, like Mick says here, who have had experience of playing the top league, it's a good shot for them. They think, you know, I've still got a bit left in my legs here, I can still compete with these guys. And it will be interesting. Daz is right. Jim Goodwin will probably look at it and say, well, we could have had much worse draws than Darvel away because the surface and the condition of the club's so good. He could have had a Premiership tie in there. So I think it suits both clubs, if I'm honest. I think Darvel will get their kind of shot at glory in the big time against Aberdeen, but I think Aberdeen will be fine going there.
For Rangers and Celtic, Gordon, Michael Beale, we're talking about him a lot tonight. He probably wouldn't have picked that draw if he had the choice. I'm not sure a trip to St Johnstone, somewhere that you've just lost, it's another Premiership opponent, it's away from home, I'm not sure it's the one he would have chosen.
Not at all. First and foremost, when you're in the Cup, you look for a home draw. Doesn't matter who you are. Celtic achieved that against Morton. As much as Morton are doing absolutely brilliant in the Championship, it's a payday for them. It'll be a difficult game, but they'll go there and they'll enjoy the experience and put up a good show. But Rangers, I think that's one that they certainly It wasn't one they fancied, let me tell you. I still think they'll go and win the game. I know that not that long ago they lost 2-1, but they dominated the game early. Beale's in now, he'll probably change one or two things. So I think they'll have too much for him, but it's not the tie you really want.
And Mark, I don't know if you remember the night. I remember working at it. It was an incredible night of football when Dougie Imrie scored the penalty for Morton to knock Celtic out the cup at Celtic Park. I think Virgil van Dijk might even have been playing for Celtic. I wonder if he still remembers it. And Celtic pressed and pressed and pressed. The corner count was through the roof. Couldn't score. This, I'm not sure that has any bearing on this one, but just as a reminder, I'm sure it's what Dougie Imrie will be trying to replicate in those Morton players.
It's good having a manager who's been there and done it and said, well, look, I came here and I sat in the dressing room and thought every bit unlikely that we could cause an upset, but it happened. Like football, that's why we love football, because anything can happen. Sometimes the extraordinary takes place. It would take something out of this world for it to repeat itself, especially with the way this Celtic team's playing, especially how ruthless Ange Postecoglou is in his pursuit for success at the club. But again, Daz says it right. For Morton, who are going great in the league just now, it's just a wee reward for them. Going to play a Celtic team who've faced Real Madrid in the Champions League and got players involved at World Cup level. These guys are getting to rub shoulders with them. Fantastic tie.
Yeah, Van Dijk did play, incidentally, alongside Effie Ambrose.
Oh, who will be playing?
Who's now in Morton. So there we are. So a fantastic Scottish Cup draw to look back on. You'll find a lot of the details, I'm sure, on our website, social media channels. We are at 38, 39 minutes, and the USA have just taken the lead. Right then, on that specific second where I was about to say that they were both goalless, Iran 0, USA 1, 38 minutes gone. I certainly don't think it was Cameron Carter-Vickers, Celtic fans, but the USA have taken the lead nevertheless. And in the other game, it's Wales 0, England 0. England... oh, I thought they'd also taken the lead, but Marcus Rashford's overhead kick goes wide. You'll just get another look at this USA goal. Hopefully not going to be ruled out. It definitely looks onside. Header back across, bundled in by Pulisic.
Good goal. Great goal.
Who takes a sore one. So USA leading there. Gordon, England absolutely dominating possession, but as you would expect, I wonder if they'll now be getting a little bit more frustrated now. 39 minutes, they've not come as close to scoring as they would have liked.
Maybe a little bit anxious, Gordon. You know, it gets to half time, then obviously Wales' game plan is just basically stay in this game. And at 0-0, they're certainly still in the game, but they've offered nothing going forward.
And there's no real danger of England. There's not a huge danger of England going out, is there? So
you lose before or something.
Yeah. Anyway, let's take a look at that teaser that I set you earlier on. I've done it in a bit of a different format. I've given you lots of thinking time. I'm looking for the 11 players that have scored 100% of the penalties they've taken in the Scottish Premiership this season. So you're going to have to cast your minds far and wide here. You're going to have to think about all the clubs. And of course, it might be
one penalty kick,
taken one, scored one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Might be.
Right, we'll start off. Shankland at Hearts must be one.
Yeah, and he's taken a couple, I think, actually. Yeah. Well done. Mark.
Kankola, Ross County.
Oh, hold on a minute. He's pulling out big shows. We could have been here until the next World Cup and Gordon DL was not giving me Kankola from Ross County.
I'll tell you what, give me to 5-10 and I'll still not give you. Majovski at Aberdeen.
Has he scored them all? He's taken
a few.
He
missed.
No, he missed and got a retake.
Oh, so he did.
Did he?
He's missed.
Right.
Shankland's at 4 out of 4. By
what about Juranovic?
No.
Lafferty?
Nope.
Cholak, I think he scored one, is he?
I don't think he's taken.
Tavernier, then?
No.
Tavernier missed, is he? Boyle?
He all started very well. Yes, Martin Boyle.
Abada?
No. Shankland, Boyle, and Kankola.
Is that Halliday taking any?
No.
Don't let him near them when Shankland's about. Shankland's 4 from 4.
4 from 4? Well, I tell you what, this isn't. Kyogo taking one?
Nope.
It's quite difficult.
This is as according to Transfer Market. Blame them if it's wrong. And it was Davey in Hillington that sent it in. Thanks to Davey, fulltime at Clyde1.com on the email.
O'Hara.
Any of your Motherwell players, maybe?
Van Veen's
no. No, he missed one, didn't he?
Spell.
Molt. Louis Molt. He took a penalty.
Took one.
Yeah.
He scored it at Tynecastle.
Did he?
Yes.
wouldn't have got that.
Well done. All right, I'll get the rest of the answers. I'll update you in the World Cup, and we'll take more calls if you want to get in touch next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
On the home straight then, Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson. It's goalless between Wales and England. 5 minutes added on at the end of the first half. We've played about a minute or so of those five. Iran 0, USA 1. USA good for their lead. Also 5 minutes added on there. We're going to speak to Brian on the line, but quickly, how are you two doing with this teaser? Over the break, you should know the drill with the full-time teaser by now. It's pretty simple. You send the questions in to us, and we try and catch the pundits out and prove that your knowledge is better than theirs ultimately. So thanks to this one being sent in tonight, can you name 11 players who've taken and who've got 100% penalty record in the Scottish Premiership this season? So they might have only taken one and scored one, or they might have taken four and scored four, like Lauren Shankland. You've got Cancola of Ross County, Martin Boyle of Hibs, Louis Molt of Motherwell.
A couple of Dundee United ones. We've got Stephen Fletcher, I think.
Scored one against Celtic.
Jamie McGrath.
Oh, what a record he had at St Mirren. Remember? Yep, he's carried it on. Okay.
Is Nicky Clark one?
That's six. No.
No.
Aberdeen Duke. The Duke.
Ooh, the Duke. Yes, he has. Well done.
Yep.
Many is that? Three to go.
1, 2, 3, 4 to get.
Four?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I'm sure they said 11
to get. I will give you a little clue. There are no Celtic players on this list.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you don't waste your time, there is a Kilmarnock player on.
McKenzie?
No.
Mm.
That's it.
Armstrong. Wide player.
Absolutely. Daniel Armstrong. Well done.
Shout
He's having a great season, isn't he? Okay, yeah. A couple more to get. Let's bring in Brian, who's a Rangers fan. Let's finish as we started. Brian, we were asking, you know what? What should Michael Beale do? What changes should he make? How should he mix things up? What suggestions have you got for us?
I've got a couple of suggestions. The first thing he's got to do is strip Tavernier to the captaincy. He's not a captain in my eyes, and his form has had a big dip. So I would give the captaincy to Big John Lundstrom, or wait till a centre half comes back like it's a Big Goldson. Tavernier doesn't do enough shouting for me. Doesn't do enough egging the team on. He's like a quiet, too quiet for my liking.
Do you think there's any chance Michael Beale agrees with that though, Brian? Given that, you know, he was the captain when Michael Beale was there previously, won the league, you know, put in some good performances. It's your opinion, which is great, and I'm glad you shared it. But do you think Michael Beale would agree?
Well, it wasn't him that made him the captain. It was Gerrard that made him the captain. So Michael Beale's come in, he's a new man, and he's got to make a standpoint, and that would be a big standpoint in the team, and to let everybody ken there's no hiding place.
What would be a big statement, that's for sure.
Look, Brian's entitled to his opinion. I do not think that will happen.
Do you think it should?
No.
Just to distinguish between
No, because Tavernier last season was absolutely brilliant. Not one person come on here and complain about him being the captain. And
we've always had that, haven't we?
When it goes wrong,
we always get sort of never a captain.
So, look, I think Beale will go with Tavernier as his captain. There'll be Rangers supporters out there looking at, you know, guys like Lundstrom and people like that. But if you look at Lundstrom's form this year, it's been very poor as well. It's not been the greatest. But I do not think that Beale will make that decision. I think he'll keep Tavernier as captain. He's been there a long while, Tavernier. He'll use him to bring the dressing room together as well. So maybe Brian doesn't see him shouting and bawling and egging players on the pitch, but you don't know what he's doing in the dressing room, training day in, day out, you know, just around about the place and organising things as well, day-to-day basis, Gordon. So there's more to captaincy than just the match day.
It'd be a big call if he has to come in, and one of the first things he does is take the captaincy off one player and shifts it to another. Aston Villa, Steven Gerrard, of course, did that, and he came in for criticism, and you wonder if it just rocked the dressing room a wee bit. I'm sure other managers would have done it.
I wish we hadn't
line.
Started this debate so late in the show, because I'm curious. I wonder if what examples there are out there of it working.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it, because I'm not sure either way.
There might be, yeah, I'm not too sure. But the one thing you say, it's a huge decision, because you are rocking the
boat. It's a massive statement, isn't it?
And it may not be the first thing that you would actually go to. You know, there's an awful lot of problems at Rangers, never mind who wears the armband. More the performance levels, the style of play, the transfer situation, you could probably get the armband to any one of them. I don't know what difference it would really make.
What difference would it make, Brian? That's Mark's question.
Well, it can't be any worse. But just make a statement to, for everybody to see that he's not a player's man. He's in there to do a job, and he's in there to make Rangers better, make them more attractive, make them play more exciting football. So I'm not against Tavernier, but see if you watch a game, he's never a right back. He's out on the left wing. He's out on centre forward. That's not a right back to me. He's out always out of position. When if they lose the ball, where's Tavernier chasing back? He's not in the right back position.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this USA have just scored again, by the way. Flags up. Was it Timothy Weah as well? Yeah. Was it former Celtic player looking to get his second of the competition? Flag goes up. It will be checked, I'm sure. But you'd imagine they've got that one right. Gordon, again, look, any suggestion's a good one at this point. I asked for it. I wanted to know anything that the Rangers fans thought they should do. I'm just interested in Brian. When we asked him, what difference is it going to make? He said, well, it can't be any worse.
Yeah.
Which seems like that's a pretty low bar to make such a big decision on then, isn't it? If you're going to make a decision of that size, it needs to have a proper material positive impact.
And there needs to be a real reason behind it as well, Gordon. I don't think it'll happen, personally. I don't think that's what Michael Beale's looking at just now. I think he's looking at the overall squad going forward as a team and the attractive football.
Is it even less likely because it's Michael Beale? It's not just any new Rangers manager. I take Brian's point. Stephen Gerrard made him captain. Michael Beale didn't. But if I was a betting man, if I had £1 for Cash for Kids, please gamble responsibly, I would bet that Michael Beale doesn't think James Tavernier's a bad captain. That would just be...
Yeah.
He'll be someone in the dressing room that Michael Beale are looking towards to help him. There's no doubt in that. So you ain't going to go onside and strip him with the captaincy right away. I think that causes you problems that you certainly don't need. Maybe further down the line, yes, he can address that situation. Right now, that's a problem he doesn't need. Tavernier's onside. He knows about, he's come out and spoke about Michael Beale, about how good the coach and everything is. So I do not see that happening, Gordon. It won't happen.
Thanks, O'Brien. Appreciate the suggestion. It's got us talking. It's got us arguing. Thank you again for calling. I think that'll probably be the last call of the evening. Did that goal not stand for USA?
Didn't stand, and it was very tight. They didn't show the lines or anything like that after
You're kidding.
That. I know.
No
I
way.
Know.
Yeah. Oh, that does not tend to go down well in this part of the footballing world. Yeah. It's the World Cup, and they're not showing the lines, for
tight.
Goodness
what
sake.
What a finish it was as well.
I thought it was only us that did that sort of thing. They might show it eventually. I'm being cynical. I've been hanging out with Hugh Keevans too long. Right, what more have you got in this teaser? Looking for a couple more players who have got 100% penalty records in the Premiership this season. Fletcher, Shankland, Kankola, Boyle, Molt, McGrath, Duke, and Armstrong.
Stevie May?
Nope.
Witherspoon.
You are convinced there's a St Johnstone one, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You would be right in that. And it's neither of those.
Okay.
Can you think of one, Mark Wilson? Always quite a reliable set piece taker. Lovely left foot.
Winger.
Oh, he's been played everywhere, this guy.
Oh, it's going to annoy me. Come on, think.
He's previously played for St Mirren, Ross County.
Oh, Graham Carey.
Okay. There's another Aberdeen.
Don't know.
Oh, you're all out, aren't you?
Yeah,
I'm struggling. That's a hard one, this.
Vicente Bizawin.
Midfield player.
Any St Mirren ones? You've one lacking. That's all. Just one to go.
O'Hara.
Nope.
I said O'Hara.
Who was heavily involved in the last time we saw St Mirren? Had a great game against Rangers.
Main.
His pal.
A Yunga.
Put you out your misery. Thank you, Mark and Gordon. We are back tomorrow, which is Wednesday night. Hugh Keevans is here alongside Marvin Bartley. So we look forward to more of your company then. Please get in touch. And in the meantime, stay right there. Callum Gallagher is up next.